How often I've walked with David and had discussions with him on the backside of the desert about leadership. I've talked with Moses at length about how do you handle grumblers and complainers in the church. I've talked to Solomon and asked him how he could be so wise in the beginning and so bad in the end. You say, you talk like they're still alive. Well, they sort of are, because in the book of Hebrews, it says this. It says, Abel, though dead, he still speaks.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. You've probably heard us mention from time to time a book written by Pastor Wayne called The Divine Mentor. Today's message is taken from that book. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message, The Divine Mentor.
Hey, we had a great wedding yesterday. Paul Brown got married. We've known him since he was a junior high kid. He was about this tall. And he got married to Megan Kaneshiro, who is one of our wonderful workers here. And it was just a fabulous time. I was going to give him a card. We always banter back and forth. And you know, as a pastor, you do a lot of weddings and funerals. So in my desk, I have a lot of wedding cards and funeral cards. And so I ran out of wedding cards. So I thought, I'll just send him a funeral card and just for fun, you know, and send it to his bride, Megan. And it says on the inside, my heartfelt condolences, Megan. But Anna found a different one, so I deferred to her. But it reminds me of this funny story. There's a guy whose friend was having a grand opening of his business, and he wanted to send some flowers, so he called the florist and said, send a wreath, you know, because I want to be a part of his grand opening. Well, the grand opening happened, and his friend called his buddy that sent the flowers, and he said, you sent the wreath of flowers? He said, yeah, I just want to be a part of your grand opening. He says, it says rest in peace. He goes, what? So he called the florist and said, what are you doing? You sent the wrong wreath to the grand opening. This is terrible. I can't think of anything worse. And the florist said, I can. And the guy said, what? He said, well, you see, somewhere in the world, there is a graveside ceremony that says, welcome to your new location. You got to get the basic stuff right first. You know what I mean? And that's what we want to talk about today as we talk about the divine mentors that God has placed in the Bible. You know, if Jesus said to you, there's one thing that's most important, don't miss this, I'd want to know. I'd want to know what that one thing is. And he reveals it. We'll find out today. But first, in 2004, down in the redwoods of the Yosemite National Park on the south side, two of the giant sequoias that were between 250 and 300 feet tall, two sequoias that put down their roots before the United States was even born as a nation, toppled over from just a slight wind. It wasn't a huge windstorm, but these sentries or these guardians of the forest fell face down in a small windstorm. And they were just aghast, thinking, how could this happen? These are legendary trees. So they sent out agronomic experts to investigate what in the world went wrong. This can't be. We're concerned about all our trees here. Well, after a lengthy investigation, the park ranger, whose name is Deb Schwartz, was in an interview, and the interviewer asked her, what happened? What was the cause? Her answer baffled me when I was reading it. She said, foot traffic. I said, foot traffic, I thought to myself. As I read on, I understood. She said, you see, around these trees, when visitors come, these are such spiring giants that these people come and they visit and they look and they walk around it again and again and go, whoa, this is just amazing. Not just one set of footsteps, not two, not five. About 1,000 a day. And you multiply that by two legs, and then you multiply that by every day of the week for every year for the last 50 or 100 years since this has been a national forest, and people can come and visit. It was foot traffic that loosened up the root system, and then because of that, in a very small storm, these giants fell. So the question was, well, what are you doing now to prevent this from happening? Her answer, we put enclosures around these venerable trees to keep people away from the root system. And boy, when I was done reading that, I thought, man, if these giant trees need something to protect their root systems, otherwise they will fall, how much more do we? Because even giant trees can't sustain the foot traffic without an enclosure. And I thought, you know, God, around our foundation as Christians, we need to put a sacred enclosure around the foundations of our life and our faith. Otherwise, in a small windstorm, that's why people fall, marriages fall, individuals fall, faith falls. Then you think, it wasn't that big of a deal. It's not because of the deal, it's because of the lack of sacred enclosures around our root system. Jesus addresses that in the book of Luke chapter 10. He's going to visit two sisters whose brother was the very famous Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. The sisters' name, Mary and Martha. Jesus is going through the town and he's going to visit them. And I'm going to read a portion of it and then you'll pick it up with me, and it's in your notes. So if you would take out your notes with me on the back of your bulletin notes would be the scriptures. And let me read to you in context so you kind of find out what's happening here in this house of Mary and Martha. I'm starting at the 38th verse of Luke chapter 10, and it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And she had a sister called Mary. Now this Mary is the one we're about to talk about. Would you read it with me in your notes? Go. Mary was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my lazy sister has left me to do all the serving alone? You tell that squanderer, help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha Stewart, you don't have the same notes I have. Oh. You are worried and bothered about so many things. Here it is. But only one thing is, you want to underline that. Only one thing is necessary. Continue with me, please. For Mary has, she has what? The good part. Watch this. Which shall not be taken away from her. He points to that which would be eternal about the deal, about the situation, about what was going on. See, Martha was in the kitchen, distracted by all of her preparations. Preparing for what? For the Lord. Did you know that you could actually be in church and be distracted by ministry stuff? And you work hard for God, but you miss God. That can happen. And that's why when you come, I want us to have our hearts open to the Word of God. But more than that, I want us to, when we go home from this place, to develop a daily regimen of sitting at his feet, listening to his word. In fact, it's so important that the Lord says only one thing is important. Hopefully you come here and hear a good message, something that encourages you and challenges you at the same time. But if we go from this place and that's all we do is once a week, you'll starve. You see, even if you had the most scrumptious, most delectable, nutritious meal once a week, you would still be gaunt and emaciated, and you would still be weak, and your immune system would be vulnerable to the storms that blow. It has to be something that we do every single day. And we have to make sure that we don't just study the Bible just to tell my son what to do or tell my wife how she needs to obey me. No. You can starve in a land of plenty. And so Martha was distracted by all her preparations, getting ready for the Lord. And Mary, her sister, was seated in the living room seated at his feet. What was she doing? Listening to his word. And when Martha said, "That lazy bum, you tell her to come in here, help me. She can at least wash dishes." And the Lord said, "Martha, Martha, you're bothered about so many things. And really, one thing. How many things? One thing. How many is necessary? And Mary is chosen." She is what? Chosen. You know, you have to choose this. And what I'm about to share with you today is something each of us will need to choose. But even should you do that, it'll be the most important choice you'll make. Why is it so important? I'll tell you why. Because when you start off, those of you that are married, when you start off at the wedding, like we had here yesterday, when you start a new job, when you start having kids, when you start school, when you start college, when you start whatever, you might have the passion, the excitement, even the vision, even the calling of God to start. But when you start, you won't have the wisdom necessary to finish what God's asked you to start. You don't have what it takes in the beginning to be the man of God that you want to be when you say, "I do," at the altar. You don't have the wisdom necessary to be the mom that you want to be when you say, "I do." You don't have the wisdom necessary to embark on a business that God is calling you to embark on. Not when you started anyway. See, where do you get the wisdom? You accumulate it along the way. You've got to harvest it. You've got to garner it along the way. Well, how do you get wisdom? Well, you get wisdom from one of two sources. Number one, you can get wisdom or you can get wiser from stupid mistakes. How many of you would attest to the fact that you got a little wiser from some dumb consequence? Raise your hand. Yeah, a lot of us, yeah. And so let's say, you know, Aaron jumps off the roof with a sheet and boom, he busts his nose. I say, "Whoa, Aaron, what happened, Dad? I broke my nose." "Oh, what kind of wisdom have you gained?" "I'm not Superman." Good. So you can get wisdom from your own mistake, but it costs you one bone. One broken bone is one sliver of wisdom. Now, if one bone equals this much wisdom, the amount of wisdom God's going to require for you and me to have in these last days, and take a look at the country and what's going on, all of the controversy, all of the conspiracy, the amount of wisdom people of God's going to need to navigate all of this is like this. You say, "Well, how do I get that wisdom? Through mistakes?" You could, but listen, you don't have enough bones in your body to break in order to gain the amount of wisdom you're going to need. So how do we get wisdom? Here's the second way. Not only through personal mistakes, you can learn it through other people's mistakes. Yeah, Pastor Guy jump off the roof and he breaks his nose. "Oh, Pastor Guy, would you learn?" "Oh man, Wayne, this Superman's cape doesn't make me Superman." Okay, good. So I take that wisdom, I apply it to my account, and I don't jump off of roofs like he does. Still does. And so now I'm wiser at his expense. Well, now I'm going to ask you two questions, and I'm going to have you raise your hand for each. Are you ready? How many of you have gained a little bit more wisdom from a mistake you made? Raise your hand. Okay, now put them down. I'm going to ask you that again, and this time I'm going to have you hold them up because I'm going to do something with it, all right? All right. How many of you learned or gained wisdom from a mistake? Raise your hand. Hold them up. Now watch this. If I don't make your mistake, because I don't want to repeat all of this. Look at this. This is crazy. You're a bunch of mistake-ridden people. Hold your hands up. Yeah. Okay. Now watch this. Instead of me making the same mistake that you just made, what if I just went through and harvested the wisdom that you have from that mistake and I put it to my account? Now you can put your hands down. Do you understand when I leave this room, I would have wisdom beyond my experience. I'd have wisdom way beyond my years. I would have the wisdom of the ages. And that's the amount of wisdom that we're going to need to have to be men and women of God in this topsy-turvy world. It just may be why God called us here together, so that he can remind us of this. We're going to need a lot of wisdom. Well, how do you get that? Well, let me tell you a story. When I was 31 years old, I went to Pioneer Churches in Hilo, Hawaii. And when I got there, the first 8 months or so, I preached and preached and preached. And I'm just young and still wet behind the ears. And I figured, man, after 8 months, I preached every sermon there was to preach in this Bible. I didn't have anything left to preach. I exhausted it. But I knew there was so much more, but I had no idea how to dig it out, how to mine it out. I was young, I was immature, 31 years old. So I heard that there was a man named Titus Cohen who in 1837 led a huge revival where 10,000 Hawaiian people got saved, 10,000 in Hilo. He loved the people so much that when he landed on the shores of Hilo, 3 months later, he preached his first sermon to the natives there. Preached to the Hawaiians after 3 months of landing, preached to them in Hawaiian. And God saw his diligence, used it, and within a few years, 10,000 had come to Christ. He wrote down, like in a journal, all of his mistakes, the things that he failed at, things he learned, things he thought about. And all of his experiences, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and put it in a book called Life in Hawaii. Now, I went to the library, and I went to the librarian. She's tall. I mean, real, like 9 feet, Goliath, I called her. And she was kind of, you know, mad looking. And so I said, do you have this book, Life in Hawaii? And she said, it's out of print, like that. And I said, well, do you have it maybe around somewhere? She said, it's in the archives. So I said, can I read it? She said, in the archives. You can't take it out. You can't check it out. I said, that'll be fine, ma'am. I'll read it in the archives. I just really want to see what he says. She says, well, you can't copy it, you know. I said, you mean on the copy machine? She says, yes. I said, why? She said, you could hurt it. I said, I didn't know the book had feelings. She said, funny. So I said, well, sorry. I really want to read the book. Can I go in there and read it? She said, only if you're careful with it, and I'll need your driver's license. So I said, okay. So I gave her my driver's license. I said, here's 2 credit cards. I have 3 children, too. You can take them all. I just want to read the book. So she leads me into these archives, and she takes the book out, puts it on this long koa table, and she says, now don't hurt it. I said, I got it. I know. I said, but what if I want to copy some of the pages? She said, you don't put it on the copy machine. I said, okay, I won't, but how? She comes back with a yellow pad of paper, throws it on the table, gives me a pencil, and says, the old way. So I began reading this, and all of his mistakes and the lessons that he learned from breaking his nose, it was so intriguing that I went back to the beginning and I began to copy it from page 1 verbatim on this yellow pad of paper. I filled up both sides, and about 3 hours later, I came out and said, can I study this? And I'd like to come back in maybe a month or so and do this again. And she gave me permission to do so. So over the next few years, I'd go every month into the archive, and I'd bring up my own yellow pads of paper, and I would do 1 pad of paper, take it home and study it, and then come back and fill up another one until I had a stack of yellow pads about this much. The whole book was copied onto these yellow pads of paper. And a few years later, I was going to move to Honolulu to pioneer again. And this one book, I mean, arguably, from reading the stuff that he recorded, arguably, it probably saved me 25 years of mistakes. I learned so much. A few years later, when I was going to move to Honolulu to pioneer again, I actually went to the library to this lady, and I said, hey, I just wanted to say thank you for letting me, you know, go into the archives. I just want to let you know that my wife and I are moving to Honolulu to pioneer a church, and I just wanted to say thank you for allowing me to go into the archives. And she said, well, we heard that you're moving. I said, you did? She said, yes. And we had a board meeting. I said, okay. And you came up and we discussed you and we found out that we have two copies of this book that you love so much. And she reached under the counter and she took out the one that I'd been reading and she gave it to me and she said, we wanted to present this as a gift. And then I started to cry. And the only thing I could whimper was, why didn't you give this to me soon? But as I said, arguably, it saved me 25 years. And if she would have said, this will cost you $5,000, I would have found the money for that book. And if she would have said, we've got four more and they're $5,000 each, I would have found the money because these books would have saved me a lifetime of mistakes and errors and dumb choices and decisions. Well, God knew that you and I would need so much wisdom in these crazy days that He chose for us to live in. He knew that you and I would need way more wisdom that you could get on your own, that He gave us not only one of these kinds of books, not two, He gave us 66 books filled with raw, unedited accounts of men and women who've learned wisdom and left it to our account. The divine mentors that God chose to live in this book are incredible, but they await your audience. They have the wisdom of the ages here, and they left it behind as like breadcrumbs for you and me to follow, because every problem you will ever face has already been faced by somebody in this Bible, and they leave clues behind. The question is, will you give them audience? Because even though the wisdom of the ages is contained in these leather-bound covers, if we don't ever visit them, you'll never get them. Mary chose the good part, which will never be taken away. How often I've gone to these people and asked them questions, because you see, my best friends are in the Bible, and so are yours. How often I've walked with David and had discussions with him on the backside of the desert about leadership, about how to handle tough people, how to work with stallions under my care. I've talked with Moses at length about how do you handle grumblers and complainers in the church. I've talked to Solomon and asked him how he could be so wise in the beginning and so bad in the end. And boy, have I had some discussions with Samson about how could he be so dumb with women. You say, you talk like they're still alive. Well, they sort of are, because in the book of Hebrews, it says this. It says, Abel, though dead, he still speaks. Interesting. Because you see, there's only one book in the universe God promises to inspire, and that's the Bible. It's not a devotional book. It's not a religious magazine. It's not a podcast. It's the B-I-B-L-E. You say, the wisdom that God gave to Solomon, boy, I'd sure need some. I'd like some of that. Oh, you can have it. Because you see, the Bible says in 2 Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God be adequate and equipped for every good work. So you say, oh, so you mean the wisdom of the Bible can come to me? Sure, because the word inspired means God breathed. Well, God gave that wisdom to Solomon. I don't think he'll give it to me. Oh, sure he would. He'd be honored to. Because you see, God is not a respecter of persons. So how do I receive it? Well, if you'll read Proverbs or Ecclesiastes with an open heart, when you read those inspired scriptures, those God-breathed scriptures with an open heart, when you read it, God will breathe into you the same wisdom He breathed into Solomon. Into you. The knowledge of the Apostle Paul. Into you. Why? Because this is the only book in the universe that God will take and breathe into you. Is that cool or what?
You've just heard part one of a message entitled The Divine Mentor by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We'll bring you the conclusion on tomorrow's broadcast.
Life has a way of wearing you down. There are bills to pay, deadlines to meet, family pressures. We try to evade and avoid, but that's not the answer. In Pastor Wayne's book, The Divine Mentor, you will meet men and women from the Bible who have lived through your worst day imaginable. Some were victorious, others failed. But the lessons you learn from them can save your marriage, your family, even your life. Order a copy of The Divine Mentor online at lifejournal.cc. That's lifejournal.cc, The Divine Mentor. Order a copy today.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, have a great day in the Lord and aloha.